Ready to lose 40 plus pounds without giving up happy hours, weekend brunches, or date nights? Then it's time to uncover the hidden link between binge eating and toxic relationships and finally break free from both. Welcome to the Hungry for Love podcast with Jillian Scott. Y'all ready? Let's go. Hey, hey, welcome back. Today we are talking about how to break the trauma bond with food. And this concept of a trauma bond is often talked about when it comes to relationships and something like emotional abuse. And this is something that as I was talking and thinking about a future podcast that I'll be a guest on, this idea and this concept of how we can be trauma bonded to a person came up. And then I was like, but we're also trauma bonded to food. We have this love-hate relationship with food and with diets, and it really creates a lot of internal turmoil. What we want to do here is understand how different cycles play out in different areas of our lives. And so we have this trauma bonding cycle to a person, which we often call the abuse cycle. So we can be bonded to this other person, even though they treat us poorly, even though they don't treat us well, we still have a hard time leaving, typically because it's not always bad. And there's a key reason that we get bonded to this person. And there's also a key reason why we can get bonded to dieting and we get trauma bonded to food. And it really creates this dysfunctional dynamic and dysfunctional relationship with it. And so as we go through life, we want to be looking at how to break these different cycles that are not serving us. And when we see it in one area, often we can start to see it in another. And so this has been really helpful for the people that I talk to, which is recognizing and seeing how things are playing out in relationships, either currently or in the past. That way they can also start to recognize how this is playing out with food. And so it can be an external relationship with somebody else. But then we often also have dysfunctional relationships within ourselves. So with food, with body, our own self-talk, we can have a very abusive relationship internally. And so these are the things that we want to break. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to link to a video where I explain this. If you want to follow along and be able to visually see things a little bit better, I'm going to walk you through it and talk you through it here on the podcast. I'm also going to drop an image. And then if you want to see it played out a little bit more visually, I'm going to add a link for YouTube. So you can go to my YouTube channel, which I have recently restarted. I think it has a couple videos from like 2019. Good intentions. But I'll put the video there because for me, I like to be able to see it. And to have a visual representation, I think is really helpful. So just know there'll be some links if you want to see pictures, if you want to watch the video of where to go to get that. And then if you just want to listen, follow along with me. And we're going to start with the abuse cycle and looking at it from a relationship aspect. Now, if you want to skip the trauma bond in relationships explanation and you want to jump straight to the trauma bond with food aspect, and when I lay out that cycle, you can go ahead and jump to minute 15 of the podcast and dive into that. If you want a little bit more background or even just to hear how I explain the trauma bond with other people and relationships, keep listening, but just wanted to give that little side note here. So the abuse cycle always starts with love bombing. Love bombing can be a variety of the following aspects. So there's intense emotions, excessive flattery and praise. They will overcommunicate their feelings for you. They might say things like, I love you, or I'm crazy about you, very early on, like in the first maybe couple weeks. They might send you gifts or notes, or it's excessive, spending a lot of money, taking you on these really extravagant dates. And then it's also talk about the future, and it's very future focused, and it's very early on. So within the first week or two, they're talking about what Christmas is going to look like 8 months from now. They're talking about what next year is going to look like. They're going to talk about like buying a house or a future wedding or things like that. It's like within the first couple of weeks, there's these long-term seeds planted of what your life is going to look like for you. And the one thing here is to recognize is this person who is doing the love bombing is trying to get their needs met, and they've learned this is how they can do it. So I think a lot of this happens subconsciously, and that is the core. It's like they are trying to get their needs met And often it's through you. And they've learned that if they show up in this way and they meet these needs in you now, you will meet their needs back in response. And this might be where like a savior complex comes in, where they want to save you from this bad dynamic that you're in. They want to show you what real love looks like. They want you to experience these things. And sometimes love bombing can be reciprocal, right? So when you are looking for another person to meet your emotional needs, when you have these deep longings and desires, when this person is like filling a void in your life, often both people are love bombing. So I can look back on past relationships and I'm like, oh yeah, he was definitely love bombing me, but I'm pretty sure I was love bombing him right back. So just recognize this is not to blame. This is really about understanding your role in these different cycles and dynamics so that you know how you want to show up differently. This is not about blaming the other person, feeling like a victim, feeling helpless. It's really about let's understand it from the big picture and why this works, right? Because here's the thing. For some people, the love bombing is going to be a huge turnoff. But for me in the past, like up until recently, love bombing has been like water in the desert. It's been what my soul has longed for because of the abandonment wounds that I grew up with and thoughts of myself and just relationship issues with a father figure growing up. Love bombing, specifically this intense, big emotion from a man, especially that's future focused, that has me feeling loved and chosen and special and wanted. It's like, oh my gosh, he loves me so much. Whereas for somebody else who maybe grew up in a different dynamic or has been in more healthier relationships, they would see love bombing as a huge turnoff. But in my brain, especially, love bombing was real love. Okay, so this is going to come into play later, but let's walk through the cycle. All right, so it starts with love bombing and you're like, this is amazing. They love me so much. I feel so good. We're talking about the future. Like I've found my person. And then there's an ego injury. Some people call it a narcissistic injury. There is some kind of injury to the ego of the other person. So I'm going to speak in like he versus she, and the man is going to be the abuser here. However, there are women who are abusive. This happens in same-sex couples. Just recognize that's the language I'm going to use just for today and for this example, just to keep it clear, okay? So he experiences an ego injury. So he experiences shame, and he does not want to handle that. He doesn't know how to handle it. He doesn't want to feel it, and he doesn't have the capacity. And so his brain and his coping mechanism is wired to get him out of that shame as fast as humanly possible. So it's going to result in abusive behavior that's directed at you. And so this might be yelling, screaming. It could be the silent treatment. It could be shame now directed at you. It's making you the problem. You are responsible. It could be any type of control, manipulation, demeaning words and comments. And it's very much he feels inadequate, he feels disrespected, and he feels shame. There's all kinds of emotions, but at the core of it, it's this shame. And in his brain, he's thinking, I've got to get out of this. And his brain knows he can get out of it with these abusive behaviors, which then triggers your nervous system. So I want you to imagine a circle. And on the right-hand side, you have love bombing. And I want you to draw an arrow down. And it goes to ego injury. There's something that happens. There's some kind of trigger. And we don't always know what that trigger is or could be. But there is some kind of trigger. And from that ego injury, I want you to create another line or another like arrow that goes to abusive behavior or abusive response of him. And then I want you to start drawing an arrow up. We're going around the left side of the circle. It triggers your nervous system. So your nervous system is activated based on how he is now responding, whether he is big and explosive with his emotions, whether he is withdrawn and he is now silent and he is now making it clear that you have done something wrong. You are the problem. And he is now going to withhold love, withhold communication, withhold things in order to get his point across, to get his emotions across. And ultimately, it's a desire to get you to fix it. You have to now step in to do something because you are responsible. It's misplaced responsibility. So you are responsible for fixing the situation and his emotions. And so you get triggered. You feel responsible. So you feel shame. That's the next step in this. And then I want you to draw another arrow. You've got to fix it. So you now, next arrow, appease, placate, take the blame. And this is where we recognize the fight, flight, freeze, appease responses that we typically go into. So when my nervous system gets triggered, I will typically freeze, appease, then I get the hell out. Then I flee, in that order typically. And occasionally, I will try to explain. Occasionally, there will be a little bit of a fight, but then it is very quickly. I back up. I try to appease, make things right. I think you misunderstood. I didn't say that. I'm really sorry. And then let me back up and get out of that situation. But because I feel responsible, I feel shame, and I feel like I need to fix it because I'm the one responsible. This is where people pleasing comes in, which I'll do a whole episode on that. But people-pleasing is not just trying to make another person happy. It's you feel responsible for all of their emotions, good and bad. So it's not just I have to make them happy. It's I have to avoid them from getting angry or being upset or feeling a certain way. And so we go through this from this trigger and you feeling shame, you have to fix it. So you now are more of a people-pleaser, a perfectionist. You take the responsibility, take on the blame. And then your goal is to try to get back to that love bombing state. That's where both parties are trying to get back to. He wants to get back there just as much as you do. It's just coming out in different ways. And so both parties here are codependent. There is not one who is codependent and one who's abusive. I don't think that is accurate. Both parties are codependent. He is just as much as you because he needs you to fix his emotions and to fix the situation just like you need him to go back to that love bombing state so that you can feel good enough. This is important to recognize. You're always trying to get back to that love bombing. And the challenge is that you can never stay there. You might get back to the quote love bombing phase where things are good, where things are calm, where things felt really amazing. It's like, how do we get back to where things were in the beginning? That's often what I hear, and that's how I've experienced it, is you get to be a couple years into a relationship and you're like, how do I get back to where things were in the beginning, in the first 6 months, the first 9 months? If you've been married, maybe it's how do I get back to the way things were when we were dating, before we got married, before these issues started to pop up? And it's this constant cycle of trying to get back to that love bombing state and then be able to stay there. And that's the thing, is we can never stay there. But because there's this intermittent positive reinforcement of the love bombing, there's always hope. And you now minimize and justify and excuse the abusive behavior because it's not all that bad. It's not always bad. Sometimes he's really great. Sometimes he's really wonderful. Sometimes you feel really loved. And this is why it's so confusing, because you have this like really high and this extreme intense emotion, and you might even feel it in your body. The last time I was love bombed, well, not the last time, I would say a couple times ago, seems to happen frequently, but a couple times ago, I felt it as like spiky anxiety. You'll feel it in your body. I noticed the more that I tune into my body and the more that I am aware of it, the more I recognize, oh, it felt like this intense excitement, but it was sharp, spiky, like lightning bolts. And it was more than just excitement. It was like anxious. It was like my stomach would tense up and my chest would be tight, but it was thrilling. And the more that I can see this, and not all love bombing is going to be like that, but with some of the really abusive guys, one in particular that I dated, that was how it felt. It was very intense. And it was something where I even had a friend who told me about this, and I still was like, oh yeah, that does not feel good in my body. But it was also something I craved. It was something that I yearned for. It was like, okay, this feels anxious. This doesn't feel right. And yet I also wanted it at the same time. Because in my mind, it was that love bombing meant love. That love bombing was meeting needs in me that I was not yet meeting for myself. This is why it's really hard to walk away, because they're meeting needs for you. And when you feel worthy, when you feel good enough because you're with them, it's going to feel really hard to walk away. And so this is the trauma bond. We have really high highs, and then we have some really low lows. And we struggle to get out of this cycle because there's that intermittent positive experience of the love bombing. And it doesn't always go back to the high highs and the intensity. Sometimes it just goes back to calm, peaceful love, where he seems really genuine and really sweet and caring and considerate, and he's taking an interest in what you like and what you're doing. It feels like what might be a normal, healthy relationship. So this, this could be its whole episode on its own, but I wanted to explain that and lay that out. And for some of you, you might be like, yeah, yeah, got it. This is what we want to recognize can be happening in relationships. And so I want you to pause here and we're going to draw another circle. We're going to draw another cycle that mimics this one. And it's now going to be with food. And now it's going to be more of an internal relationship and dynamic, not so much external with another person, okay? But it's going to follow much of the same pattern here. The diet and your diet working, especially for the first time, like the first, maybe second time, and it works well, it works quickly, you lose the weight, you drop it fast, you can stick with your plan, you have lots of willpower, it feels so easy. That is the love bombing phase of a trauma bond with food, of the abuse cycle with food and this dysfunctional relationship, but with food. Okay. So this is the starting point. This also becomes the breaking point for both cycles. So the love bombing can very much happen with the diet of like, it's working and it feels so easy and it feels so good. This is amazing. So we go from the diet working love bombing phase, which I should come up with a phase name for that. I haven't yet, but I'll come up with one, to some kind of trigger. It's usually one of two things. Either you've lost the weight and now you are stepping back from the diet. You're like, sweet, lost the weight. Now I can start to eat carbs again. Now I don't have to drink these shakes. Now I can eat normal. And a lot of times programs are going to have different phases where if you have typically an intense phase at the beginning, and then the idea is you slowly add in and incorporate other food and other meals. Often, psychologically and emotionally, we don't know how to make this transition because we just are told that food is good or bad. So either you've lost all the weight and now you're slowly or quickly going back to what you were eating before. You get to eat out again. You get to go to your favorite restaurants. You can drink wine with the girls. You can go to happy hour. It's like life. There's either I hit my goal. I'm successful. So now I get to go back to what I like, the foods that I enjoy, how I like to live my life, or there's some kind of life event or some kind of trigger where you feel an emotion, and it could be stress, it could be it's a long week, it could be a vacation, it could be a holiday, a special occasion. Something happens where you stop the diet. So it's either you've lost the weight and you stop, or maybe you are still in the process of losing weight, but there's some kind of extra circumstance. Because you were trying to lose weight in a vacuum, you were able to follow your diet rules, but only under these certain circumstances. And once this event hits, now you have stopped the diet, whether it's a day or a week or longer. And so from there, what happens is sometimes we will start emotionally eating and then we feel shame. So we stop dieting. We're now overeating. Maybe we're starting to regain some of that weight, or we are just emotionally eating and we feel a lot of shame and regret. And because of that shame and regret, we want to keep eating, keep self-soothing, or we try to go back to the diet, but it keeps us in these little like loop-de-loops, little circles, little spirals, and we end up regaining the weight, all of it. So now it's not just a couple of pounds, it's 10, 20, 30 pounds, and then you feel a lot of shame, a lot of regret, there's some self-loathing, and because you've basically stopped the diet for a longer amount of time, you're like, okay, I just have to go back to the diet. And I have to go back to when the diet was working, the love bombing diet phase. But it becomes harder and harder to go back to that diet. You have less willpower. It becomes harder to stay on the diet and to stay on the diet longer. And there tend to be more life triggers that come up and more emotional eating because that chronic dieting has restricted food. It's made it bad, made it off limits. And then when you fall off, quote, fall off the wagon, when you jump off the wagon, you are often emotionally eating. And then what happens when we have Wednesday and you're eating off plan, you're like, ah, screw it. I'll start over next week. And so we throw away the day, we throw away the week and what's left of it. And we just keep telling ourselves, well, I'll start over the next day because then I can be perfect. It's this perfectionist fantasy. And the perfectionism is wrapped up in part of our identity of who we are, of how we've learned to survive other relationships. So if we go back to the love bombing phase in the relationships and or not the love bombing, but like the abuse cycle and the trauma bond with a person, a lot of times there is perfectionism, people pleasing, and that is how you are like you feel shame and that's how it comes out. So you are trying to avoid your shame avoid you from feeling shame. So it's this preemptive. I don't want to feel this in the future. I don't want them to feel it. So I need to be perfect. So I need to please them. I need to control their emotions. I need to make sure they stay happy. I need to take the blame. I need to take the responsibility. And it shows up now with your dieting of I have to be perfect. And if I'm not perfect, then screw it. I'll start over tomorrow. Screw it. I'll start over on the first. You might get to the 24th of the month and then you're like, eh, that's all right. I'll start over on the first. And it's this perfectionist fantasy that we get stuck in. And that's what keeps us falling off or jumping off the diet wagon, trying to jump back on. And we're always trying to get back to when the diet felt easy. This is the similarity with relationships. We're trying to get back to that love bombing phase when the love felt easy, when it felt good, when it was when it felt like this is the way it's supposed to be. This is my person. We keep trying to do that with diets. We keep trying to go back to when the diet was meeting those needs, when we were able to lose weight easily, when we had the willpower, when we could stick with everything, when we could stick with it all the way and lose all the weight. And so what you find is that as you keep going through this cycle of hitting triggers, some maybe losing some weight, but not all of it, and then different events happening, you're traveling, you've got events with the kids or the grandkids, you stop the diet, you're emotionally eating, you feel the shame and regret. Regardless of how much weight you've gained, there's more shame, like whether it's a couple of pounds or it's like 20, 30, 40 pounds, and you keep trying to go back to when it felt easy and it never feels as easy as it was the first time. It's like you're chasing the high of the diet working. Now, I've never done drugs. I just understand the concept, right? Of like when it felt really good, really easy. The best I can think about it is that love bombing phase with a relationship. I'm like, all constantly trying to get back there. And I know from my perspective, when I was able, like the very first time I diet and I was doing a low carb diet, it felt easy. It felt doable. And I was like, wow, this, like the weight just seemed to come off. But then the next time was harder and the next time was harder. And it was like, we keep going back to that diet working, thinking it should work, but it doesn't. It's like, we're not able to sustain it. The diet doesn't become a lifestyle. We keep falling off the wagon. It never lasts as long as we want to, and we can never keep the weight off. We might be able to lose it for a short amount of time. You might be able to lose 30 pounds in 3 months, but you gain it right back 3 months later, 6 months later, because it's not sustainable. But we keep going back to the same diet over and over again because we keep telling ourselves that it's working. Just like with the love bombing phase, we keep telling ourselves that is real love, and it's not. Just like the diet isn't working. It does not work. Because if it did, you wouldn't be regaining your weight. And this is the problem. And we understand it has to be a lifestyle. We understand like you have to make lifestyle changes. But we think that I just have to make this diet my lifestyle versus figuring out how to live our lives and how to have the lifestyle that we want while being able to lose weight and then maintain it. So that's what most people think when they are like, oh yeah, you just have to change your lifestyle. Yeah, you do. But most people are telling you, you have to do the diet for the rest of your life. You have to make the diet your lifestyle. And for most people, that sounds like hell on earth. Sounds terrible because no one wants to live in a world without pasta and pizza and wine and date nights and, you know, making cookies with your kids. Nobody wants that. So stop trying to force it. And this is hard. Because this is a cycle that we know. And so in order to break the cycle, we have to break it at the love bombing phase. We have to break it at the love bombing phase in relationships and recognize that is not real love. It never was. Even in the beginning, like this is where we have to tell ourselves, like, he never loved me. I thought he did. He might have even thought he did, but he never truly loved me. He just knew how to get his needs met. And I just knew how to get my needs met through it too. Just like the diet never worked. It never worked. And when we can make peace and acceptance with that, that's when things can change. But you keep going back to that diet cycle. You keep trying to go back to that same diet over and over again, thinking that's going to work, or even just trying to find a new diet, trying to find the new diet that feels easy, the new diet that's going to work. You just stay stuck in this cycle. because we have a trauma bond with food. We can't live without it. We love it. And it tastes so good, and it's meeting so many of our emotional needs, and yet we hate it because we can't control ourselves around it, and we feel like it's what's making us overweight, and we really struggle. But we also don't know what else to do. All we know how to do is try to go back to a diet, try to go back to what food rules are going to help us to lose the weight, what food rules are going to be easy, try to get it to where we have the willpower or we have the commitment or the dedication. And we have to learn how to do things differently. This is really good for us to recognize and to see how we do one thing is often how we do many things. And breaking cycles is more of a psychological aspect than anything else, because most of us, we know what's healthy. I would argue that all of us know what's healthy, right? If you put some chicken nuggets versus some broccoli, what's healthier? If you put some chips versus some baby carrots, what's healthier? We know this. It's not about not knowing what to eat. It's that we have a lot of food rules, diet rules about what we should and shouldn't be eating if we're on a diet. So we moralize food, and then we moralize ourselves based on what we're eating. And now when I am fat and I have eaten the bad food, now why bother? I've already ruined the day. But that's okay, because I can fix it. Tomorrow, I can get back on track. Tomorrow, I can be perfect. Monday, I'll get back on track. After this holiday, after spring break, after everybody in the house gets healthy, after whatever, like what, insert whatever circumstance might be happening in your life, then I can get back on track. Then I can do this. And we got to recognize that it's not working. Where do we go from here? How do we break the trauma bond? We have to change the way that we see food, the way that we see weight loss, the way that we're trying to do weight loss. And we have to really step into this concept of what can I do for the rest of my life without hating my life? And notice, like, where am I emotionally eating or binge eating? Those are some cycles that we have to decode. We have to notice when we keep trying to diet and restrict, and it's not creating the results that we want in life. And instead, look at how can I make a small, simple, sustainable shift? How do I get 1% better today? And that brings on more of the psychological, emotional aspects around our bodies and weight loss and what it means to be a certain weight or a certain size. Because so often we want to hurry up and get there. We want to hurry up and lose the weight so that we can feel better about ourselves, so that we can like ourselves, so that we can like our bodies. And we just really struggle with this emotional, psychological aspect. And when we finally can enjoy the process of losing weight, when weight loss feels easy, when we can actually eat the foods that we like and still lose weight, when we can still live our lives and enjoy our lives and enjoy going out to eat and enjoy date nights and enjoy happy hours and enjoy brunch with the girls or taking your kids out for pizza or having these special events, special occasions, when you get to live your life and still lose weight because you're not restricting and you're not obsessively thinking about food and exercise all the time, that's when you will speed up your weight loss. And that's when it's like when we release the need to lose it quickly. And it's very hard because so much of our brain is consumed with our weight and I'm not good enough and I'm too this and I'm too that and I'm not enough here and I'm not enough there. And this is what we have to break. It's a much deeper psychological aspect, which is why just finding a new diet isn't going to work. It's not going to help you. And the long-term effects are not going to stay. This is why I'm so passionate about it. I'm so hell-bent on it. You don't need another flippin' shake or smoothie or meal plan. We know what to eat. We know what we like. But when you are constantly overeating and you're emotionally eating and you're now turning to food to meet your emotional needs, it's going to be really hard to say no to food. When food is the primary source of your joy and pleasure and relaxation, it's going to be really hard to say no to it versus you getting those needs met in your life. And when you're in the abuse cycle and you are used to having another person meet your needs and now they're not, now there are times when they're not meeting those emotional needs. They're creating emotional dysfunction and turmoil and chaos. Of course, you're going to reach for something else to try to do it for you because you're used to looking outside of yourself for that solution. Don't blame and shame yourself. We want to just recognize, I got used to meeting my needs with another person, and now that he's not meeting them, I'm trying to meet my needs in another way. So it's really easy to turn to food. It's really easy to turn to alcohol. Sometimes we try to find a new person. Sometimes it's we break up with that person, or maybe they break up with us, and it's like, well, that's okay. I'm just going to find a new person. I'm just going to get back on that dating app. And that app and the excitement and that thrill of somebody liking you and somebody responding to you is enough to keep you going. We've got to break that. If you want some help with this, of understanding the cycles and how to break them, how to create the life and body and relationship that you truly crave, then I would love to chat. You can schedule your free Break the Cycle call. Visit me at www.bodyyoucrave.com/BTC. And I'm going to help you understand how this cycle plays out in your own life, what it actually looks like, so that you can break it. And we're going to walk through what the breaking it part looks like. And it'll look a little bit different for everyone because we all have different beliefs and food rules and different trauma that has impacted both of these cycles. But you can break both of them. And as you start to break one, you're going to break the other. As you start to break the diet love bombing and the trauma bond with food, you can then start to recognize the emotional eating patterns and you can decode those. And I'll show you how, so that you can break it, so that you stop emotionally eating and binge eating. Just like you can break the love bombing habit and the trauma bond with another person, so that you don't keep dating the same person just with a different face. It's like you're dating the same guy over and over again. We want to stop that. And it starts with you. You have got to change how you're showing up, and we've got to change what we see as love. It might feel a little uncomfortable at first because it's new and it's different and it goes against what we've been taught and how we've been brainwashed in terms of relationships and in terms of food and dieting and weight loss. This is why it's so critical to have somebody on the outside who can help you and walk with you through this process. Because so often we can see the habit. I remember when I was overeating constantly, like every single day, I was in this constant overeating and emotional eating habit. I could see it, but I felt so powerless to stop. And even though it felt like I knew what to do, I just had to stop eating. I couldn't get myself to. It was like this compulsive behavior. If you want some help and you are ready to break these cycles once and for all, so that you can love yourself now and all the way down the scale, so that you have a healthy relationship with food, so that you are not constantly worrying and thinking and obsessing about it, so that you're not sneaking back into the kitchen at night when you think no one's looking to grab a snack or rummage through the pantry or find those ice cream bars you hid under the bag of peas. This is what it's all about, and I can help you. We need that external help. We can't do it on our own. Don't worry, babe. I got you. I've been there, and I've overcome this. And I'm breaking cycles for me, for my family, for my son, and I know you can break these cycles for you and for your family and either your kids right now or your future kids, if that's what you want. But you got to go first. You got to work and you got to heal that relationship with you, with food, with your body. And then healing that relationship with other people is going to be so much easier. I promise. All right, y'all. Like I said, I'm going to drop some links in the description. So if you want to be able to see what it looks like visually, then check out those links. There should be an image. There'll be a link to a YouTube video where you can watch me walk through it. So I recorded a video very much walking you through this process. It's the same concept, just some slightly different words. But this is what it's all about. All right. I hope y'all have a fabulous week. Here's to creating the life, body, and relationships you crave.
If this episode resonated with you, it's time to break free from destructive cycles around food, alcohol, and toxic relationships. Your next step? Book your free Break the Cycle call, where you'll finally see why your binge eating and relationship patterns are so deeply connected and how to break free from both for good. You'll walk away with fierce clarity and a game plan to step into a life full of fun, adventure, and self-love. Grab your spot now at www.bodyyoucrave.com/BTC. It's time to break the cycle. I'll show you how.